Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good evening, boys and girls. It is the Wrestling Podcast on a Friday night. I am Alfred Kunawa at This Is Nasty at Pro Wrestling Bits on YouTube, joined as always by our returning champion, NYC Demon Diva herself, Issa. What's going on, girl?
I don't know why you said evening, because it's morning already for me.
Yeah, good evening on the West Coast, ladies and gentlemen.
Exactly. No, I'm good. Ready to talk about, there was no news to talk about today, right? So,
no, nothing big really happened at all. We'll get to this one minor news nugget and then we'll get on with the show because it is a Friday, January 6th, and a happy White Friday to you and yours, everybody. Nobody had a better White Friday than Vincent Kennedy McMahon himself this January 6th, where he stormed WWE headquarters, and that man is back in the chair. Now, we're going to get all kinds of reaction. I'm going to give a long story short, you know, the Cliff Notes version of what's happened and transpired in the past couple of days, because it's been a lot. It looks like Vince McMahon had wanted to come back. We had heard those rumors over a month ago that Vince McMahon wanted back in the company. He did write a former letter to the board of directors requesting that he comes back on the board, joined by Michelle Wilson and George Berrios, who used to be co-presidents in WWE. And so they got three board members' seats evicted off of the board. The new board includes Vince, Michelle, and George. Of course, there was a meeting held earlier today with WWE employees to assure them that nothing's going to change. Vince McMahon's return isn't going to affect day-to-day operations. Vince McMahon feels that, quote, my return will allow WWE, as well as any transactions or counterparties, to engage in these processes, knowing they will have the support of the controlling shareholder. In other words, WWE might be negotiating a sale, which is what Vince McMahon has been using as leverage, that he will not be a part of any sale. He will not sign off on any TV rights unless he's back in power. And that seems to have happened. So a lot to digest here. But long story short, Issa, Vince McMahon is back. For now, we're being told that he's back in just an executive role to pursue a sale. How do you see this playing out?
I don't know. because nothing this man does surprises me or shocks me anymore, if I'm being honest with you, Alfred. But I will say, if I built an empire, a global empire the size of WWE, and if the sale rumors are true, I will want to be part of that decision and have a say on how things go. So from that perspective, I don't care what anybody says. I think it's the right thing to do for him. Now, taking charge of creative and this and that, I can tell you that he won't do that because he's so unpredictable. So it's a weird situation where when I'm looking at it from a business perspective, I can see why he's back if the sales conversations are for real. But outside of that, I can see him trying to take over everything one more time, and that it would actually probably be sad because I am enjoying what they're doing right now with creative.
Yes, that's going to be very interesting. I don't think it's if, it's when. I'm actually surprised it took him this long to come back to power, because knowing Vince McMahon, even from an outside looking in perspective, you always knew this guy was going to plot to come back. Wrestling is all this guy has ever known. He's hyper competitive. You know, the last thing that he ever would have wanted was to not only get yeeted out of the company that he wants to work for until he dies, but to get thrown out of his own company without his control. You knew that drove him crazy. So, of course, he always would come back. And the thing that was interesting about this announcement to me is it was the polar opposite of how he retired. If you remember, he retired literally the minute the stock market closed. I believe it was exactly 5 minutes after he announced retirement so that it wouldn't affect the stock price. And then as they announced that maybe he's coming back, the stock price started creeping up. So before the market even opened, I believe the announcement was made. And boy, oh boy, I believe it went up as far as 24 to 30% in terms of the stock market explosion. It's up at $80 around. So it is on fire for those people who said that, oh no, the stock
Oh, I saw it all over social media.
No. Yeah.
Oh my God, you're absolutely right. I saw it all over social media. The stock is gonna crash. I'm like, it's not. And I have a couple of shares with WWE, and I got the email, and I went to check, and it went way up.
Oh yeah. Yes, the stock absolutely went up, the stock price. And this is kind of a carny trick. It's one of the reasons Vince McMahon really just wiped the floor with these board of directors. They had all this dirt on him. They dropped the dime on him. They seemed to bring about his demise. But maybe I watched too much Succession, because a couple months ago, even the day he got evicted, I expected a Logan Roy type comeback. And that's exactly what's happened. And what I would like to see is the behind the scenes. I want to see the promos Vince McMahon was cutting to get Michelle and George, who he fired out of nowhere, to get them back on his side. How did he manipulate them? How did he get these other three board members off of the board? Like, this is what I want to be seeing out of this whole saga.
I don't want Succession, but I will say that I always believed his retirement was nothing but a PR stunt, waiting for everything to cool down, waiting for people to not talk about it anymore, and then we will see what his next move was going to be. I mean, the grapefruits on this guy to come back when these rumors are still out there and nothing has been solved. But that is Vince McMahon for you. I mean, look at how daring he was the night that the first report came out, showing up on TV it was a big dick energy move of him to just say, screw these allegations, I'm still here, I run this place. And it doesn't seem like his attitude has changed.
No, not at all. And it never will. This is always going to be Vince McMahon. He's always going to be a fighter. He's always going to have a carny trick. This is the world's greatest carny, because making this announcement and the way that it positively affected the stock market, I figured that when he wanted to come back, he'd do it in the summer, around the time they actually negotiate this deal, so that the stock price can go up and people can't say that his return affected the company in a negative way. But the way he did it now is the same effect, is that Vince McMahon negotiating a sale, which I think he's just using to get back in the door. He's negotiating that sale. And then come July, when they get offered $3-4 billion from Amazon, he says, oh, what sale? No. I'm gonna keep going with this company, and I'm actually gonna be in charge of creative, because I do expect Vince McMahon to come back to creative. He only knows one speed. He's not gonna stay away from this company.
I will say one thing, and I sent out a tweet today. When I look at it from a business perspective, I work for notorious billionaires in New York City. I know corporate America. I always call it at its most evil form, when that is New York City, right next to Wall Street. Nothing that these billionaires do shock me anymore. It's just, if you work for that kind of environment, why do you think? The reason why I took a bet on myself was because one of these billionaires fired 80% of us days into the pandemic just to save money. That's just what they do. This is just their attitude. So nothing really shocks me here when I look at it from a business perspective. That's just what they do. And there's not going to be anybody else. I know a lot of people are saying, oh, there must be a lot of yes, man, this and that. It doesn't matter. There's nobody that's going to tell them what to do. They're going to do whatever they want at the end of the day.
Yeah, absolutely. And especially, and the thing that always helped Vince McMahon is the ownership, the controlling ownership, where this company does not get sold without his blessing. This company does not sign a TV negotiation without his blessing. That's essentially what he used as leverage to force his way back into the company. And I mean, you just gotta, the man aside, the character aside, the horrible stories that we've heard, obviously, you know, all of that aside, just strictly from a business standpoint, looking at how he did this, this is masterful. This Vince McMahon kicked the crap out of this board of directors. And I don't want to say I can't believe it, because I've been calling this since the day it happened. It does not surprise me that he's back. I'm just impressed at how easily, really, it seems that he was able to come back into this company.
Yep. It was meant to happen. The company's his. He created this, and okay.
Yes, it's wild. We'll see what happens next. I think a lot of people expect some more drama on that front, including Sega Genesis. Friend of the show, Nick Khan, Stephanie McMahon, and Triple H versus Vince McMahon is the wrestling equivalent of John Connor, Sarah Connor, and the Terminator versus T-1000 from Terminator 2, Judgment Day. God, Glenn would have loved that. I love that too, as a big fan of Terminator.
That's a great reference. Yep, I do love Terminator, so I appreciate that. Thank you, Sega, as always.
Yeah, a lot of drama behind the scene in WWE. And what does this mean for the Triple H era before we move on to our next story? Do you feel like this Triple H era as we know it, in terms of these new stars coming back? Right now, at Pro Wrestling Bits on YouTube, I have a piece on who should be scared. Returning stars who's come back. Before they were there, and when Vince McMahon left, at the time he was there, he was cutting everybody. He was firing everybody breathing. And now with the sale rumors combined with Vince McMahon coming back, do you think that means that they get axed, Issa?
I don't know. I hope not. I think everybody needs to just step up to the plate, you know, and the opportunities. I mean, if we're talking strictly business, and let's just say in a crazy world, the sale is a thing.
Yeah.
Budget cuts is the first thing that happens when you see a company going for sale. They're going to want to lower the cost to the bare minimum. So I wouldn't necessarily say that there's not going to be any cuts if the sale thing is for real. But if you want me to be honest, the first thing that I thought about when I saw the reward was, I hope he waits until after the Rumble to take over creative, because I really wanted a Triple H Rumble.
Yeah, exactly. I think we all need a Triple H Rumble in terms of where these storylines have been going. I think they've set this Royal Rumble up very nicely to where I could see several people winning the Royal Rumble. And that's how I kind of grade how good a Royal Rumble can be, is when there's multiple people who you could legitimately see winning. There's no
I can't hear you, or am I frozen?
Hello, Issa. I'm sorry. I hit the wire again. My microphone is out.
We need to get you. Look, Sega Genesis is out here donating super chats. Get a new wire, Alfred.
I'm sorry. My wire has abandoned me. And the Matrix is also trying to silence me. We can't underestimate that. Sega Genesis for $20 more, front of the show. Triple H is going to bash Vince with a sledgehammer just to give them more time to pull dirt on him and run. Then Vince's head will reform as he continues to chase them. That is metaphorically what has been happening, in that now that Vince has kind of transcended cancel culture, I know they're saying that there's other stories out there about him that could hurt him, but I think Vince McMahon has learned a lesson about things blowing over. Listen, Vice TV had that documentary on Vince McMahon, The 9 Lives of Vince McMahon. Well, they better make a sequel, because it's the 10th life right now, and if he gets taken down, it'll be an 11th. Like, this guy is not going to die unless, you know, God forbid he physically does, but until he removes himself from this earth, he will always be in the picture in WWE.
He's Illuminati confirmed.
Yeah, 1,000%. I think he's in the Illuminati Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he sits in like the high thrones right next to Beyonce. Guarantee it.
Speaking of future Hall of Famers, Mercedes Moné made her debut.
With a banger entrance music.
Yeah. Great entrance music, very West Coast. I really love it. That would really slap in LA. Whether or not she's going to be there, who knows? But what we do know is that Mercedes Moné helped spark some records for New Japan Pro Wrestling in terms of Wrestle Kingdom. Of course, she was not announced for this event. 26,085 tickets sold were the highest for a live event non-WWE in 3 years. So a lot of that, probably the Kenny Omega return, the intrigue around Sasha Banks / Mercedes Moné led to 92,409 new users for New Japan World. That is the highest new users they've ever had for one event and the most viewed event in New Japan Pro Wrestling history, Wrestle Kingdom 17. Number 11 on Google searches for January 4th. It had never cracked the top 20. Wrestle Kingdom had never done that. And so I think the interest in Mercedes Moné really helped spark this pay-per-view.
1,000%. I saw the social media. I never seen so many people watching Wrestle Kingdom, tweeting about Wrestle Kingdom. I'm one of those people that resubscribes every January just for Wrestle Kingdom. This year, I did a watch along, which ended up having excellent viewership. I thought I was going to be streaming to nobody at 4 a.m. No. I had great numbers. So obviously, there was an extra interest here. It was a very poorly kept secret. We all knew it, right? So I'm happy to hear them doing those numbers. But I got to tell you, we got to give props to AEW as well. Even Carl Anderson here. There was a lot of matches that I went in knowing who some of these people were. Forbidden Door and some of the involvement with AEW along with New Japan really, really helped make us more familiar with some of these things. And I thought Kenny Omega versus Will Ospreay, that match changed me, Alfred. I will never be the same. It was incredible.
An amazing match. Just a wonderful, wonderful match. I watch it multiple times. And you get something new every time. So it's just a great.
Can I ask you a question? Has Kenny Omega ever felt that big in AEW to you?
Do you mean physically big or star power big?
No. Star power big. Absolutely also not. Physically. I think this is the best he's looked in years, physically as well. But
yes.
He's never felt. He feels like a freaking larger than life, like a god in Japan. And I see him in AEW and he just comes off as one of the guys. There's just such a disconnect from Wrestle Kingdom Kenny Omega to the Omega that we get on a weekly basis.
Yes, I do think that Kenny Omega does come off as a star in AEW, but not to the degree, obviously, in Japan. And I
That's what I mean.
He definitely came off as a bigger star in Japan, but a couple of things are to blame for that in terms of, I think Japan just does a better job presenting their individual stars as larger than life in the way that they shoot and the way that the audience receives them. It's much different than how American crowds. It is more like a worship type thing where they're in awe of him, especially because they can't all the way cheer or boo or whatnot. So they have to find different ways to express it. I do think it really helped his aura on this show, that, you know, awe and like the, you know, people seeming that they're in his presence, I think really helped Kenny Omega.
Yeah, I am excited that Wrestle Kingdom had those numbers, and I personally thought that the show delivered. I enjoyed the show from beginning to end. Felt a little bit bad for Jay White and Okada having to finish that, but you know what? You got to do what you got to do. I thought they put on a great match. It didn't live up to what was in front of them because I don't think anything could. I think that's going to be match of the year. We're going to be talking about it at January next year. We're still going to be talking about
it. We'll see. I feel like people forget. I think the fact that it happened in January is going to hurt it because it's
Austin and
Omega, who are two chosen ones in these communities. That's going to help them. But by February, by March, I think the Royal Rumble might be better. I think whatever Sami Zayn ends up doing at WrestleMania, there's going to be a lot of things between now and December that people say is the match of the year, is the best match, this and that. But this will
be
in the mix.
I think it'll be in the conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was a lot of fun. And of course, Mercedes Moné, what did you think about her debut?
I loved it. I loved it. I thought that the presentation, like I said, I love the gear, the way she came off. She looked like a star. A lot of people are nitpicking the move. I think that the mistake was on how Kyrie landed. I'm not going to nitpick that. Or her promo, because I can only imagine the pressure, the nerves, the emotion that Mercedes must have been feeling at that moment. If you want me to be honest with you, I'm just glad she finally showed up somewhere, because I am tired of reporting. She's signing here. She's coming back. She's doing this. I'm just happy that she's finally somewhere and we can see what she does from here. I've been a big fan of Sasha Mercedes now, betting on herself and knowing what she's worth and going out there and doing it. We've seen a lot of men in the wrestling industry doing it. Why not let a woman do it? And I would love to see her come back to WWE a couple of years from now and getting the money that they deny her right now. I think that would be an incredible end to the story.
Yeah, and you say you don't want to hear about speculation of where she's showing up, but that's all that this has led to, because Saraya's mystery tag team partner is in Inglewood. She was announced as Toni Storm, but AEW, I think, has backed itself into a bad corner with this in terms of Mercedes Moné. We read all these stats in terms of her moving the needle in Japan. They've already sold 400 additional tickets and are going to sell out Battle in the Valley. And if Mercedes Moné shows up next week, this is a half-empty Kia Forum. I was there 6 months ago, where they sold 14,000 tickets. Biggest TV crowd of the year. They sold half that amount. And if Mercedes Moné shows up next week, I will be baffled that they did not announce her. And even if they don't announce her, they already had that tease with Britt Baker, and AEW is known for being able to sell out the United Center without announcing somebody. So either way, it's almost like fake false advertising.
Yeah, but hear me out. I felt that AEW, if Mercedes is not the person, they needed to announce it. Kind of like what WWE did when they announced Becky Lynch on SmackDown the Friday before War Games being in Boston, because everybody was speculating it was going to be Sasha, and I'm not sure they would have kept it a secret if Becky would have it's Becky Lynch. She would have had a reaction, right? But people would have been going in thinking it was going to be Sasha. I was advocating for begging AEW, if this is not Mercedes, freaking say who it is so you don't disappoint people. At the same time, if she does show up, then it's probably a missed opportunity. I'm not sure that I want to see her first match back being in a tag team with Saraya for nothing on an AEW show. So I would rather wait until Battle of the Valley, see that match, and then let her show up everywhere, if I'm being honest with you. I don't think that this should be the match that I want to see her come back as her first match.
Yeah, I agree. Maybe it's not the stature of the type of match you'd want to see her in, but I think the appeal is in the reaction. And I really, as much as I did like her presentation in Japan, I felt like it was underwhelming for obvious reasons outside of her control in terms of the reaction. Because I know in America, especially being in the building, I think it'd be a very special moment. I think the place would go insane as compared to how they were allowed to react to her in Japan.
Agreed. You also have to give New Japan major props for making her first match in the States. She's going to get a crazy reaction. I thought that was the smartest move they could have gone with.
Yeah, and we
A second when she came out in gear, I got to tell you, I was like, are they going to pull a Charlotte? Are they going to give her the title right now?
That's what I thought they were going to do. I thought she's going to work a full match. She looked great.
Me too.
CJ Hennessy for $4.99. Happy Friday. Missed wrestling tonight, but wanted to send love to my faves. You're our favorite too. One of our favorites, CJ Hennessy. Thank you so much. Sega Genesis. Whoa, $50. To me, when I heard the report that WWE felt Sasha Pete, it sounded like Vince Johnny Ace. I highly doubt that Triple H feels she's not worth Charlotte money. She'll do her New Japan dates and get paid by WWE after they do their annual spring roster dump. Yeah, I think I definitely agree with you, Issa. If it's not Sasha Banks, they did have to get out in front of it because they kind of set themselves up by building this up for a month. I think a lot of people thought that it was going to be Sasha.
Yeah, 1,000%. And thank you, Sega Genesis, always. And CJ as well for the super chats. We appreciate it. I always love how Sega just keeps it real.
Yeah, Sega makes it rain on us and always has some literature that's dropping. Always has some scripture that Sega Genesis drops on us. So thank you, guys.
We might as well call Sega scripts.
Yeah. The real scripts. Oh, that's great. We get into SmackDown live from Memphis, Tennessee, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, my God. Let's talk about that opening.
The opening, of course, with the bloodline, Roman Reigns is not very happy with one Sami Zayn. So they're going that direction. He's kind of building up. He's upset that Sami Zayn seems like he's trying to be Roman Reigns. And then he takes his frustration out for Sami Zayn losing last week to Cena and Owens. He just explodes on Sami Zayn. Are you trying to be like me? And eventually they're cut off by Kevin Owens, walks out, challenges Roman Reigns for the Royal Rumble, and makes a remark about Sami Zayn's balls being in Roman Reigns' pocket before storming out. And then we do get an announcement later on in the night. It will be Roman Reigns versus Kevin Owens at Royal Rumble. What did you think about this opening segment, Issa?
First of all, I wasn't expecting Roman. I don't know if he was announced or not, but it's starting to become a nice surprise when the music hit because we've gotten so accustomed to him not being there all the time that sometimes you just assume he's not going to be there. So to me, it was a nice surprise when his music hit. I knew he was going to bring up the loss. I love that he says, I didn't lose. He lost, because that's exactly what I said on last week's podcast. I got to tell you something. There's something so effective about Roman Reigns screaming because he's so cool, calm, and collected. The way he calls his promo, he's almost whispering. So when he does that, and he does it perfectly, like you don't hear him screaming all the time, I'm a fan of the person that almost whispers their shit talking, right? And it's just as effective as the promo where people are screaming all the time. You do not need to scream on a wrestling promo for it to be efficient. And then that way, when you have these moments, they come off as more genuine. When Roman Reigns screamed, I became pregnant. It was a beautiful moment. I do not think that Sami Zayn should be trusted. However, and correct me if you or give me your opinion, it feels like this match with Kevin Owens is second fiddle to the Sami Zayn storyline, right? Even the way that Roman Reigns dismissed him, when Kevin Owens came out and said, I want a match with you, and Roman was like, yeah, sure, okay, go away. Back to Sami. You know what I mean? So it's going to be, what, the third time that now we see Roman Reigns take on Kevin Owens on a Royal Rumble pay-per-view? The last time in 2017 that Royal Rumble went to San Antonio, we did see Kevin Owens against Roman Reigns. We also saw them in that weird match when Roman tried to run him over. But I think it's funny that we're going to have deja vu because it happened in San Antonio. This is the last time they were there. But overall, I am so invested into Roman Reigns playing mind games with Sami Zayn, which he did more of later on. We'll get to that later.
Yeah, absolutely. And first and foremost, congratulations on your pregnancy. I think that's wonderful news in addition to the Wrestling Inc. family. Roman Reigns did it again. Congratulations to you too, Daddy. And I also completely agree in terms of, I do not think that Kevin Owens has a chance. I don't think anybody thinks Kevin Owens is winning this match. I think that's going to hurt it. I do think it's going to be a good wrestling match, but we have seen this time again. However, this storyline is the hottest thing that they've got, and I think I'm very intrigued to see what happens and how they take this into the next step, because they have to kind of take their time. And as you alluded to, they did reel it back a little bit more to where, of course, Roman Reigns got mad at Sami Zayn, but we still have time before that inevitable split. So he had to make amends with Sami Zayn. And we can talk about this right now. Before the main event, he did apologize to Sami Zayn. I love this about the Roman Reigns
character. He didn't apologize. It was a fake apology.
But that's what I'm going to say about this. Here. That's exactly what I'm saying about this character. It's so consistent. It very much reminds me of the Usos when Jimmy and Jay were kind of fighting over whether or not Jay should be with Roman or Jimmy. Jimmy came in with that nobody's bitch shirt and he was an op. And then when Roman Reigns started to lose Jay, he went to Jimmy and manipulated Jimmy and started buddying up to him so that he can get the Usos back together. Now he's doing the same thing. He blew up at Sami Zayn. And then later in the night, when he knows that he needs to soften up Kevin Owens, he's manipulating him into fighting Kevin Owens. And, you know, this is obviously going to end in a split. But I like that they're being consistent with this character.
Yeah, I agree. I thought it was funny when it was like, nobody deserves to be talked to. I shouldn't have behaved that way. Because ultimately, the apology was to set up Sami Zayn into this match and also to make Roman Reigns be that person that we just discussed, the cool, calm, collected guy that doesn't lose it. And he kind of caught himself there. So I appreciated that. But there was a lot of signs, the way that Paul Heyman was staring, the way Roman Reigns was delivering these words, that, you know, this is going to be a test for Sami Zayn. He better win this match. If he doesn't win this match, what's going to happen? The more calm Roman comes out in a segment, the more scared you become for the person that he is talking to. I have people like telling me, they were like, oh, Sami Zayn was about to meet his maker. Like, people were praying for Sami Zayn on social media, on my chat, because of the way that Roman Reigns is delivering these promos. And we'll see what happens next week, but I'm into it. I've been into the storyline since the beginning, and it just, they're finding a way to long-term storytell here without it feeling repetitive.
Yes, absolutely agree. That's good. Good tension. Juan Orellana from 199 says, anyone seen the Royal Rumble poster with the Rock tease? I'm not familiar with this. What is it? I've seen the poster, but I did not see the Rock tease. Are you familiar with this, Issa?
I was told today that it's because of the, like, the thunder, like the lightning is kind of like electrifying, and that's the Rock tease here. It was giving me Thor Avengers Endgame vibes when I first saw it. That's what I got out of it.
Oh, wow. Yeah, well, that, we've had to read into these posters more, because they did the same thing with Bray Wyatt when they were teasing him with the lantern. So maybe that is electricity and maybe not, but that's good. I like that WWE has people on their toes looking for clues these days. They're more invested until Vince McMahon comes back, of course. Dylan Matthews for $2.99. Does Sega want to announce WWE purchase on the show? I did hear, and that was another part of the story. Of course, Sega has emerged as a bidder in WWE, but so has Saudi Arabia. And that's something that we really probably should take a little seriously. Again, I don't think Vince is doing this for the money, but in terms of being in control, being in power, I really don't see them just giving it to Saudi Arabia, of all people, and thinking he's going to remain in power and they're going to honor contracts or whatnot. I mean, maybe I'm crazy, but
Didn't Saudi Arabia like not pay them like for a couple of months, and they think they're going to come up with billions of dollars? I mean, they can't. We know Saudi
mechanical issues. They like you to believe that it is mechanical issues, is what I was officially told.
Oh, okay. But yeah, I my favorite thing was scrolling through social media and people just saying the most random things, like, oh, The Rock's going to buy WWE. And I was like, you guys realize that this is minimum $7 billion. Like, The Rock doesn't even, he's not worth that. Be realistic.
And there's a lot of these figures that are coming up. A lot of people on Wall Street. And congratulations to the shareholders who have stock in the company. You came up today. Sega Genesis for $20. I remember the build to Sting versus Hogan. Oh, yes. From mid-96 to end of 97. Best long-term build to a match I'd ever seen. The storyline is best I've seen since. I don't want to guess anymore. I just enjoy it. Play it out however it will. I agree. Everything said. That Sting Hogan storyline was magnificent. They did a great job. Sting did not wrestle an official match one time in that 18-month build. And then finally, you just couldn't wait to see him and Hogan. I thought they did a great job with that.
Yeah, and I love that Sega just pointed out that it could go in so many directions, because that's the case here. There's so many players involved in the bloodline that this could go so many ways. Sami versus Roman, KO and Sami uniting, the bloodline falling apart, everybody going their own way. Like, there's so many things that could happen, but I'm just here for it. Every week, I enjoy it.
Yes. So we get backstage to a promo with L.A. Knight. He feels so damn good. And then he cut a heel promo on Memphis. So apparently he's still a heel in this feud.
Yeah.
And then we get to our first match of the night, actually.
One more thing. Weak follow-up. Because I thought that the attack on Uncle Howdy on Bray was a good segment. And it felt like such a weak follow-up to just ask L.A. Knight to talk crap about Memphis and that's it. No seeing Bray, no seeing Uncle Howdy, no nothing. I wish there would have been a little bit of a follow-up, because that was what I considered to be a good segment last week.
And it was a big angle. I think it needed a follow-up. And for it to just be really one of the most random throwaway, nothing type segments that you'll see, just him cutting a promo backstage, I don't think that was a follow-up at all.
Maybe they knew Glenn wasn't watching, so they figure, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it can be a coincidence that Uncle Howdy was not on the show, and he's also not here tonight.
That's what I'm saying. We're going to have some questions on Tuesday, that's for sure. We get Kofi Kingston versus Santos Escobar. Here's what's interesting about this is they're talking about Kofi Kingston's legendary highlight reel at Royal Rumble. Of course, Kofi Kingston screwed up his spot last year. In WWE fashion, they love jumping on people and making fun of their slips and falls like they did Titus O'Neil and like they did Top Dollar. But that's why I think that they did not mention Kofi's slip up at all. They just said, oh, I can't wait to see what Kofi does next. They didn't mention one word about a slip up because I think they wanted to save that for Top Dollar, which we'll get into poor Top Dollar later. But beforehand, it was Kofi Kingston versus Santos Escobar. It was a good match. Distraction from Legado del Fantasma grabbing Kofi Kingston's leg. This leads to a Phantom Driver. I thought it was a very good match, and they really played up the fact that Santos Escobar got the biggest win of his career over Kofi Kingston.
Yeah, I've been very happy with the presentation of Santos Escobar as of recently, especially because in the beginning, it felt like they were going nowhere with Legado other than feuding with the Viking Raiders and Hit Row. When they put him in that world tournament, things started to turn around for Legado, specifically Santos. And it feels like the momentum is still going with this. Thought he looked great. Still bothers me that the crowd doesn't chant Legado with the entrance song. Yeah. I am hoping we eventually get there. Selena looks great with Legado del Fantasma. Overall, this was a fun match, as it should have been. But yeah, we're going to start a drinking game. We're going to take a shot every time they do a fake elimination and the announcer says, that's how easily you can be eliminated in the Royal Rumble. Yeah. Like, I feel like that's going to be the next 3 weeks of television.
Oh, yeah, definitely trope that and the random brawl between everybody on the roster. We're going to get all the hits leading up to the Royal Rumble. But we have the Karrion Kross and Scarlett in a mixed tag team match against Madcap Moss and Emma, the two lovebirds. Karrion Kross tags in, and he threatens that he's going to attack Emma and commit domestic violence, Issa. But Emma slaps him in the face and stands her ground. Moss comes to fight for her honor and loses. He gets hit with a hidden blade. Best hidden blade I've seen all week. I'm just kidding. Come on, don't come for me. Hidden blade from Karrion Kross. Straight jacket for the win. And Karrion Kross and Scarlett win. They put Rey Mysterio's mask on Moss. So they're going full steam ahead. Vince McMahon clearly hasn't gotten his hooks into this product yet because they're going full steam ahead with Karrion Kross and Rey Mysterio, probably for the Rumble, Issa.
Yeah, happy to see Scarlett finally being utilized. It just hit me that was her in-ring debut in WWE. We've seen so many good things from her in TNA, so it's good to see her here in this. It felt like a nothing match because it's building to something else. You're still using Emma and Madcap. So, fun match. It was there, but I was happy to just see Scarlett being used in the ring outside of just being, you know, the person that lip syncs the entrance music.
No, there's anything wrong with lip syncing.
No, but that's why it felt like it feels like a TikTok entrance. It does. Just because.
It would look good on a vertical, and it is optimized to just right be there in the center of your screen. You can watch it on the vertical phone. I can absolutely do that.
Yep.
We get McIntyre and Sheamus with quite possibly the greatest tag team name of all time. They are the Banger Brothers, everybody. I don't want any of them, as good as they've been throughout their careers or whatever, I don't want any of them to do anything different. This is it. This is what their careers have been building for. Whether it's 3MB, whether it's Brawling Brutes, it's time for the Banger Brothers to take over tag team wrestling. They have a segment slapping each other at a bar, Issa.
I love this segment. The most likable that I think Drew McIntyre has come off in a while. And it's because he just let him be there with his friend and his buddy. And Sheamus and McIntyre look like the two guys you would want to get drunk at a bar with. You know they're going to try to outdrink you. Like, this was fun. I love that. And I'm becoming a fan of them just using more real life stuff. And we know these two guys are best friends in real life. And they're playing off of each other so well to the point that in the main event, we'll talk about it later, but I thought for a couple of falls that they were going to freaking win.
Yes, that was a very great main event. And because it's Sheamus and Drew McIntyre, they're two top guys and they were very over in that main event. So I thought that really helped as well. Banger Brothers for life. My favorite section. One of my favorite content creators. That and Brazzers. Shout out to the Banger Brothers. Charlotte Flair makes her return to WWE with a live microphone. She cuts a promo on Ronda Rousey. I will admit, this promo started off very awkward, and I do think that Charlotte was very flustered and thrown off by the chance in Memphis, Tennessee of whoop that trick. It seemed like she was trying to figure out what they were saying. Clearly, they didn't watch Hustle and Flow before this show in Memphis. But out comes Sonya Deville. They start chanting it again. And then the women just kind of run with it. They are chanting it throughout the match when Sonya challenges Charlotte to a title match. Charlotte wins quite easily, but the whoop that trick chant dominated this. Charlotte Flair defends successfully. She's still the world champion. It looks like they're going to build to Charlotte and Ronda at the Rumble.
I love this segment just because the crowd was just so wild. But even before the whoop that trick chant, which were incredible, I love that the crowd was chanting, "Thank you, Charlotte." And she actually acknowledged, she was like, yeah, "I never thought I would hear that chant." And I was like, what does that tell you about Ronda Rousey's reign when you had the crowd chanting, "Thank you, Charlotte," who is someone who's not tend to be beloved by the crowd like that. But I always say Charlotte Flair has it, one of the greatest of all.
Mike Rowe here with a few thoughts on my favorite sweatshirt, a classic zip-up hoodie that used to be navy blue but has since faded to what the fashionistas call a distressed indigo. It's 13 years old, soft as a flannel bathrobe, and after a few hundred dirty jobs, demonstrably and undeniably indestructible. This is the kind of sweatshirt girlfriends like to permanently borrow, but I've held on to this one because I got it from American Giant. American Giant makes all their stuff right here in the USA so they can control every link in their own supply chain. That matters, because when you buy American Giant, you not only get great quality, you create jobs for people in factory towns all over the country. No pressure, but if you give a damn about the business of making things in America, you got to support the companies who are doing it right. Go to American-Giant.com/Mike to get 20% off your first order. That's American-Giant.com/Mike.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Time to do, and she has that if factor in, and I saw her entrance today and I missed it. I liked it. I like the idea that Sonya was the one that came out and we got what felt like a fresh mashup. I didn't realize that Charlotte was gone for 8 months. Once they said it, it's when it hit me. It really have been a while since she was here. Now, Ronda Rousey said on her stream that she's tired of Charlotte Flair and that she wants to focus on the tag team division with Shayna, which I happen to think is the best thing they could do with Shayna and Ronda at the moment. So we'll see if maybe this Rumble match is a one-off and we can move on with Ronda to something else, because I do think they would add some legitimacy to the tag team division, and then we can get some fresh matchups and revive the SmackDown Women's Division because they need it.
Yeah, I've been disappointed with the pairing of Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler. I was expecting them to be two killers of the likes of when Bayley and Sasha Banks were dominating and winning matches and winning all the titles, but Baszler has just pretty much been a manager to Ronda Rousey and not much else, and I think they would be much better as a duo, that they were both tag team champions or they both got to be champions.
100%.
We get Steven Marchuli, friend of the show, Marchuli. If Rock wins Royal Rumble, what happens to Cody not winning? It's a good question about that god.
Issa. You can't, I don't know. I mean, he can go cry somewhere.
No.
You know, I don't think the Rock, sorry, didn't mean to offend your Jesus, but I don't think that the Rock needs to win the Rumble to set up a match. Like, we're talking The Rock and Roman Reigns, if that's the direction we're going in. You don't need to give him the Rumble. But then again, it's like, okay, so you have Cody winning. He challenges what? The United States champion? You know, because we're going to do Roman and The Rock. And then I don't know. I don't know this. I don't think that Roman should drop either one of these belts until at least WrestleMania, no matter what. But unifying the titles really has me questioning what's going to happen with the Rumble.
Yeah, there's a lot of avenues they can go, whether it's the Royal Rumble, whether it's the Elimination Chamber. They can do a. There's plenty of time between the Royal Rumble and WrestleMania. I don't think it's an all or nothing scenario for Cody Rhodes has to win the Royal Rumble. I actually think that he might get eliminated by Seth if they go in that direction short term, and then maybe they handle that in the Elimination Chamber. But I think Sami Zayn personally is going to win it, just based on how the storyline is going. But I do see Cody Rhodes maybe even not even being in the Royal Rumble if he's not supposed to win it. And they're doing this buildup with Cody. Every week we're getting a new story. I could see them using that to announce when exactly Cody Rhodes is going to return. You know, maybe it will be a match at the Royal Rumble, not necessarily in the match itself.
No, the only way to announce Cody's return is by bringing back the beloved Cody Countdown.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we got to get that Cody Countdown. Is that intellectual property? Do they have to go through lawyers to get that?
No, I don't know. Remember, they used to
do that for WWE, though. Yeah, they did that in WWE for Raw every hour. Yeah, okay, so they can do that.
When he was going to talk, so bring it back and just play it on the screen days, hours, and everything.
They should do that. And if he's going to be healed, they should just keep resetting it to where, like, throughout the year, you're getting a new Cody Clock.
Or, like, every day says something different. You'll be like, wait a minute.
Just gaslight the audience. Sheed Black for $1.99. They say the phrase at Grizzly Games. Oh, yeah, whoop that trick is huge in Memphis. It's a Hustle and Flow is based out of Memphis, one of the greatest movies of all time in any era. And Whoop That Trick was a big song in that movie, really captured the spirit of Memphis, Tennessee. And yeah, they say it arenas across the state of Tennessee, not just Memphis. So Whoop That Trick.
Trick William capitalized on it and tweeted real quick about how they were chanting for him. I thought that was funny.
Listen, we're seeing in wrestling a lot of songs being leased out. They should lease out Whoop That Trick to Trick Williams. I would love to see that.
Yep.
They would do that in AEW. He'd come off as a big star with that song, especially in these crowds. It'd be a fun song to sing along.
It actually would. I would. I agree with that.
So somebody who's not having so much fun is Top Dollar. Faced off against Ricochet, which, my goodness, Top Dollar has lost so much weight. It's like a mannequin with like three times the size of clothes on him, the way these clothes hang on him. And he looks great, I think, unfortunately.
He looks great.
They're building his entire persona in this feud with Ricochet on the fact that he could not jump over the top rope. They're just talking about this, how, the locker room's making fun of Top Dollar. Top Dollar couldn't jump over the rope. In the main event, Drew McIntyre does a dive to the outside, and Michael Cole goes, "That's how a big man jumps over the top rope!" It's like, leave this guy alone. I was thinking that WWE has grown up. That's why they're not making fun of Kofi. It's because they've grown up. It's a Triple H era. It's a new era. They don't bully people like that anymore. Oh, no. It's because they wanted all to go to Top Dollar. So this poor guy.
But it makes sense for what ended up happening. So I don't see this all as a negative, because we have been very vocal about the booking of Hit Row. And I personally thought this heel turn at the end of this match could be the right direction and a brand new start for them, for all three of them, but specifically Top Dollar. He needs it.
Well, that's the thing. That's why I think they're turning heel. I do not think that they had this long plan for them to turn heel. Unfortunately, I think he screwed that move up in the backstage. You're like, Top Dollar, buddy, we got to turn heel. We can't have you. When really, what they could do is they could build this as a story of encouragement and always never giving up. And they build to Top Dollar being able to make that dive. The guy's in tremendous shape. We've seen him do the dive before when he was much heavier. So he definitely can do it. But this is where they're going. And he's going to be a heel, because of him being unable to complete this spot.
Well, I'd rather take them as a heel right now. I think this could just may add a layer to them, because right now they're really not, they're not doing them any favors as of right now. So we'll see how it goes for them in the heel part of things.
Yeah, one of my favorite parts of this is after the match. So Ricochet wins the match to qualify for the Royal Rumble, and Wade Barrett goes, "This might be the only thing bigger." See, the only thing that might be bigger than a SmackDown win is a Royal Rumble win. And Michael Cole's like, "Might?" Like, of course the Royal Rumble win is going to be bigger than a SmackDown win, Wade. So congratulations.
I thought that was funny, just even insinuating that Ricochet is winning the Rumble.
Yeah. You never know. Maybe Samantha Irving will kiss him and it'll just eliminate everybody.
Okay,
you're not here for that. We get Braun Strowman, of course, made the save for that. So Braun and Ricochet, the Twitter buddies.
I'm so tired of it.
Yeah, I'd rather see them fight on Twitter, personally.
They are the opposite from the Banger Brothers.
What is the opposite of a banger brother? Is it a chastity belt brother? A virgin brother.
Red pants knight brothers. I don't know.
We get Roman. This is where backstage Roman Reigns gives a fake apology to Sami Zayn.
Please,
soften his stance on yelling at Sami Zayn from earlier. So now Sami's back on his side, and then we get the main event: Banger Brothers versus the Usos. We get a lot of great spots, a lot of near falls. I thought they did a great job building drama. Even Solo Sikoa, I thought, was really good in that. He usually has that mean face, but they had him look kind of anxious, kind of like he didn't know if the Usos were going to win. Throughout the match,
yeah.
Sami Zayn is watching backstage in the president's suite with Roman Reigns. They're eating popcorn together.
Long-term storytelling there, yeah. Because the first they just show them watching, then Sami has the popcorn and nobody else wants the popcorn. Then they all have popcorn. I was so entertained by that as well.
It was a great storyline arc. It was a great subplot that by the end of that subplot, everybody got their popcorn. It was Sami, Roman, and Paul Heyman all with their separate buckets of popcorn enjoying this match. We got a 1D. It was a great near fall. That was not the finish. McIntyre got taken out of the match as a big brawl erupted ringside. The Brawling Brutes came out. Solo Sikoa brawling with McIntyre, Butch. And then, of course, 2-on-1 advantage. And it was kind of underwhelming in terms of the finish because it was just a roll-up, and Jimmy Uso helped using his feet. So it was kind of a double-team roll-up. But a great match, a fantastic main event, roll-up on Sheamus. The Usos retained tag team championships.
Incredible match, incredible main event. What can be said? Like, listen to the names of the people we had in the ring, and is there a negative to say? I doubt that they could put on a bad match, even if they try. If the speculation was put on a bad match, you probably couldn't put these guys in it. It was great. The false finishers, though, they got me. I think there was two of them in there that I really thought that the Banger Brothers were going to win. And I'm like, where do we go from here, you know? I also found it very interesting that Roman asked Sami to watch the match with him and not let him go out there. With the bloodline, I'm paying attention to everything because I think that they're doing such a good job with the storyline that everything means something. So Roman not wanting him out there with the Usos, I really wonder what that means, or if it's to prove that the Usos bloodline don't need him in order for them to win in case they're going to kick him out. I don't know, but I still think there's something to that. This was a great match. I really, really enjoyed it. And I'm here for Drew and Sheamus as a tag team.
Yeah, I'm here for the Banger Brothers, man. There's a lot of merch you can sell with that Banger Brothers. Banger Brothers, double team. There's all kinds of play on words that you can use. You know, they can use all kinds of great stuff.
But I'm surprised there's not a banger after banger shirt yet.
Yeah, there should be. They really absolutely should be. But I'm sure it'll come out. The whole line of merch, they're making it right now. We have AEW Rampage, one great match to another, Issa. I thought this Moxley and Bryan Danielson versus Top Flight match was incredible as an opener. A lot of flips. They did a lot to showcase Top Flight. They got a lot. There was a lot of hard-hitting spots with Blackpool Combat Club. Everything you love about both teams happened in spades in this match. Top Flight ultimately lost. And the theme for this whole show, this is Jericho's go-to line. He'd be like, yeah, they lost, but they won in losing. Boy, they lost, but they look so good that there's like two winners tonight.
I love Jericho on commentary tonight. I thought he was so entertaining, and you're absolutely right. This match was fun. What a fun opener. You know what I loved about both shows tonight? The crowd. It was live. The crowd was entire after Dark and Dynamite, the energy in the building, and you put on matches for them to pop for regardless, but I just loved the energy. The crowd really made me get even more into it, but this match was crazy. It was so good, but of course, it was predictable finish. It didn't take away from how good the match was. I'm looking forward to seeing, and we'll get into Hangman Page, but I'm looking forward to seeing what's next for both Brian and Mox.
Yeah, absolutely. And I thought both crowds on both shows, absolutely. I thought Memphis, Tennessee was a great crowd. And I thought this Portland, Oregon crowd is going to go down toward the end of the year as one of the best crowds they had all year. For these 2 hours on Rampage, this is the best
both
Rampage
of them.
I've seen
in Seattle
in a long,
as well.
Oh, Seattle was fantastic,
Seattle as
too.
Well, AEW, very lucky with both of their crowds this week because they were both lit.
Northwest has always been a wrestling territory. Of course, they had the Portland territory out in the 80s, and now they have Defy Wrestling out there. And so it's a really good territory for wrestling. Both crowds are great. I'm just talking about in terms of being Rampage and that we kind of go through the motion here, but these 2 hours of Rampage were the best that I think I've seen in a long, long time, because they actually felt like there were big stars on this show and the fans were invested. It really helped.
Yeah, I was thinking that too. I was like, okay, I'm not suffering watching Rampage here. I'm having fun. I'm enjoying it. So good job. Also, then the Northwest, like you said, underrated. It needs to start being mentioned more with some of the great wrestling cities that we all talk about, because people don't talk about them enough, and they are fun.
100%. Shout out to the Northwest. I was a semifinalist at the Seattle International Comedy Competition. Shout out to the Northwest. They understand talent. We got what I believe to be the first great promo of 2023. Heyman Adam Page backstage cutting his promo on John Moxley. Talks about how he's cleared. He said if he didn't get cleared, he was going to fight John Moxley in the parking lot. Moxley's finally going to get his ass handed to him. He's going to put a clip of that beating on an entrance video so he never forgets. He's going to put it on VHS. And he's going to watch it in a basement with a Blackpool Combat Club, get horny watching MMA. My goodness. He's going to wipe the blood off his hand and make sure that I don't catch something. Bars from Hangman Adam Page. I mean, he just eviscerated, ethered John Moxley in this promo, Issa.
Yo, this was absolutely incredible. You know, I'm very glad that Hangman is okay, because that spot and that concussion was such a scary moment on television. But my biggest worry was that during that concussion, like, I don't know what happened, at what point he hit his balls, because he seemed to have lost them. And now he finally got them back. So not only has he been cleared from a concussion, the man found his balls back and remembered how to cut a promo. Or maybe it was a concussion. Maybe the concussion affected his promo capabilities, because, God, he just seemed like such a baby for the last few weeks in his promos. But tonight, that's all I needed to see in order to really want to see the match. That's all I needed. And at one point he said, if they would have not cleared me, I would have beat your ass in the parking lot. And I was like, they should not clear him. I'd rather see that, you know. But overall, this was the best promo that we've seen from Hangman Adam Page in a long time. I mean, a couple of months ago, he was screaming, I'm a man, while punching himself. He's come a long way from that.
I am a man. I remember that. Yes, he has come a long way. But I did think this was great. I think what they've done a good job of in this feud between Moxley and Hangman Adam Page, it's very subtle, but it's like, they're doing everything they can to not want to kill the other guy. Like, they started off brawling every time they saw each other, and then it became about, hey, man, can't get cleared until you guys go your separate ways and not touch each other. But they're doing a good job of making it seem like at any minute, like, God, I want to punch you in the face, but I can't. It's very realistic, and I think they're doing a great job conveying that they want to kill each other.
Yeah, and now that we know that Hangman is okay and clear, using that spot, because at first Mox was using it on his promos to seem very savage, and now, you know, Hangman turning it around and wanting revenge for what happened to him, I think it's perfect. They have a great story. You have two main eventers, no title involved. This is the way to do it.
Absolutely. And we get Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter versus the Renegades. Huge reaction for Britt Baker, but still bigger reaction for Jamie Hayter. This crowd was incredible in that they were cheering for both of them. Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter essentially worked as babyfaces. I know they're supposed to be kind of heels that get cheered, and Britt Baker's eventually going to turn or whatnot, but they were both cheered unanimously when Britt Baker was in there. It was DMD chants. The Renegades, I felt, they're these twin sisters, and I feel like they have kind of Creed brother bona fides in that they do things that are really cool and impressive looking, but they also are a little reckless because they're so new. But I like these Renegade sisters. I think there's something there, especially as heels. But it was a big reaction for this match. There was a great finishing sequence with tandem offense. Went from a Death Valley driver into a neck breaker, low lariat, and then into the stomp. So really cool looking as Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter win.
Yeah, I love the match. Showcase for Ben and Jamie Hayter going into this big match on Wednesday, seeing them work together as a tag team. Of course, they're going to work well together. They've been together for a while, and I still think they're a great pairing. People were always teasing the breakup. I don't need to see them broken up. Jamie Hayter has become the face of the women's division. Britt Baker is taking a step back, and a way to keep her relevant, and she's still a star, is keeping her with Jamie Hayter here. As far as the Renegade Twins go, I really like them. I always pay attention to when I know somebody's name, because I don't watch Dark or Elevation. I personally feel like you know they're making the rounds when you're familiar with the name without watching them. And I have heard a lot about them. So I was waiting for them to put them on TV already and showcase them, because I heard the name. I've seen the clips. People are talking about them. So I was happy to see them get some TV time. I thought they were great here. This was two back-to-back fun tag team matches on Rampage. Crowd was here for it. Crowd really added to it, but it was fun.
Yes, this crowd was incredible. They really add something to a show when they're just so into. I think them being in every individual person and doing the chants and stuff like that really helped too.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Then we get a House of Black promo. Looks like they're going to be recruiting Eddie Kingston. You think he's going to join?
I didn't understand this promo.
You know what's funny is after that they were talking about that and they're like, wow, they're so cryptic. It did remind me of like a Bray Wyatt promo back in 2016 where the character was getting away from him. That was what this was kind of like.
I don't know what just happened. Like something about a man with a gun.
Yeah.
And Eddie Kingston needs help. That's what I gather out of this. But yeah, we'll see what happens. I don't see Eddie Kingston joining House of Black, but I think it'll be a fun match.
You knew a man who carried a gun around in his pocket because he did not trust the world, I believe was a quote.
Oh, great. Good for you, bud.
Hope he gets the help he needs. Friend of the show, Sheik Black, for $4.99. Jade has improved a lot. Her and Cassidy have the best matches on Battle of the Belts tonight. We will get into that. Is that the next match? No. Before we get into Jade, and we will talk about that, I did think that that was a very good match, particularly the finish as well. But we did get Preston Vance versus Sonico, who was super over. Sonico in Portland, Oregon was one of the most over people on the show because obviously he's a local talent, but just completely gets destroyed by Preston Vance. We get a full Nelson discus lariat. It's a squash match. And this wouldn't be AEW if you did not unmask a luchador, which they did. There needs to be a highlight reel of all the times you've unmasked luchadors in this company.
Oh my God. That would be incredible. That would be incredible. When did we start calling him Perro Peligroso? What was up with that?
I did hear that a couple of times. I did not know that was his new name. I didn't know that that's what they were referring to.
Okay. He should. Okay. Anyways. Yeah, this was a squash match.
Yeah. Next. And you know what? I've seen masked Preston. I've seen unmasked Preston. Brother, I think you made a mistake taking that mask off. Like, good-looking guy and stuff. I'm not saying this about his looks. In fact, he's a fairly good-looking guy. He just looks like every other guy now. And when he was Preston Vance, I just felt like he looked like an action figure. Just this shredded physique with the mask on, looked like something that kids would like in terms of an action figure, a superhero type, but now he just looks like every other guy.
Yeah, but he's Perro Peligroso now.
I guess if he speaks Spanish, you'll get but over in terms of
I need him to start barking, but like the bark that Grayson Waller did to make fun of Bron Breakker, the little dog bark. That's what I need to see from him.
Let's get Roman to teach him that part.
Nah, Roman's more intimidating than this guy. Come on.
Oh, Roman's got more bass in his voice than that.
Yeah, Roman's a badass. Perro Peligroso for real, though. Like, giving him freshman, actually, I'm suing them.
Oh, tell me how that goes. Yeah, you should lawyer up and let's get some money from Preston. Watch him change his identity. You're going to sue him and he'll change the identity.
No, I'm suing AEW. I'm not suing Preston. I want to make money, Alfred. Come on.
What, you're saying that Preston Vance doesn't secure that bag like that?
No, that's not what I'm implying at all.
Yeah, you're smarter to sue AEW to get that real. And Warner Media. Screw it. Let's go to the top.
Yeah, we'll sue all of them.
We get to Darby Allin versus Mike Bennett. People super into Darby Allin. I'm really loving this new jacket that he's got, that hoodie. I think it fits him well. It's very unique, and it's really good for Darby.
Yeah. Yeah, he must have gone thrifting recently. It was great.
Yeah, he looks like a gothic firefighter.
Yeah, it really does look like one of those jackets that you find thrifting or at a vintage store. Like, you don't find that jacket every day. I will give him that. But yeah, I thought this should have been on Battle of the Belts, though.
Yeah, it really should have because he defended the title. I guess they just needed a main event for AEW Rampage. So it was Darby Allin and Mike Bennett. I thought they had a great match. I thought it was really good. Mike Bennett quietly has significantly, I mean, he's always been a good worker, but we all remember the disaster that was Mike Kanellis. Before that in ROH and even in Impact, he was incredible. And he's back to being that Mike Bennett because he had a great match with Darby Allin. Maria great was incredible too. In this.
When he challenged Darby for the belt, I thought they both did a good job with their promos.
A couple times, yeah. They had the backstage promo and then the Mark Henry before the match. So they had a lot of outside interference and Darby Allin fought off. The crowd really much behind him. They get an avalanche code red followed by a coffin drop and Darby Allin retains the TNT title.
Yep. It was, do you think it's like, okay, Like, Warlow couldn't beat Samoa Joe, but Darby can, and he can have a match 2 days later like it was nothing?
See, especially how physical that match was, I do think that there's, especially because this is live, you know what I mean? And even if it wasn't, I think that they could have done a better job of at least not having him there, or if he was going to have a match, really playing up those injuries.
Yeah, I mean, it just bothers me. It just feels like, I don't know. I get it, though. I get why you utilize Darby on both shows. You know the crowds were going to be crazy for him, and it worked, and he got his first title defense on the books. So, great.
Yes. And we have the second title defense in 1 week for the Acclaimed, as they put the titles on line against Jeff Jarrett and Sanjay. This is the opening of
Power of Belt.
Yes, we get bars right out the bat. Of course, we get a January 6th reference. And then the bar of the entire scheme where he said, you're staying on this business, man, because Jeff Jarrett is worse than Vince McMahon. So, just...
He delivered. Maybe he heard that people are saying his bars are not as savage as they were when he was a heel, because this was a good one.
He's heard that, or this Jeff Jarrett feud has really invigorated him, and now he has some real material to dive in. And he's able to put some real teeth behind these disses because, yes, this is the best back Max Caster of their babyface run. I did feel like he was getting a little soft in terms of his babyface raps. It did seem like they were pandering a little bit, but now he's back to being edgy.
Yeah.
This has been a great feud. I know a lot of people cry about Jeff Jarrett. I love heels versus babyface. I don't care how high you are in a card. My favorite feuds will always be when there's clear bad guys and clear good guys that – you're rooting for one team to win over the other. I need more of that in wrestling.
Yeah, agree. But I'm not mad at this feud.
I love it.
And you know when I realized it on Wednesday when they did that fake out for a quick moment and they put the belts on Jarrett and Jay Lethal, I was livid. Livid.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And I know they restarted the match. And I was like, holy shit, they have heat. Like, people, I don't feel like it's go away heat. Maybe I like Jeff Jarrett just because the entrance theme is a banger. I hear it and I pop for it every single time that he has a great entrance music. But yeah, I think the feud has been okay. And you got to get the acclaim, more wins here. And this is the perfect way to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Any heat is good heat. If somebody goes out of their way to tweet that you have go-away heat, that's not go-away heat. Go-away heat is when you forget to tweet about somebody at all. And you just get apathy. If you get fired up enough to say that somebody sucks, that's heat, you know, and they're doing a good job being heels.
Most go-away heat, you turn the channel or it's background noise because you get up to go get popcorn or things like that.
Exactly. You don't have time for that. We get this. It was a good finishing sequence in that they did another type of Aubrey saves the day type finish to where we got Jay Lethal hits it. So this is a no disqualification match. Jay Lethal hits a flying elbow on the referee while Jeff Jarrett is in a hold. And they're like, well, it's a no disqualification match. You can do whatever he wants. Like, then why the hell would you hurt the referee if you could do whatever you want?
That's a good point. I didn't think about it that way.
Just to be a jerk. You know, they're heels. You know, I guess that's what they do. So we get a big pop for the shot on Satnam Singh. Let me tell you something. This Satnam Singh chokeslam, Mike Posey, the referee, just killed this guy, but he's an impressive looking man.
Mm-hmm.
I really want to see him debut as a wrestler. And then Aubrey saves the day. She comes in after Sanjay Dutt tries to put the referee shirt on, and she counts them down. The Acclaim beats Jarrett and Sanjay Dutt. I thought it was a fun match.
The Acclaim is so fun. The way they get the crowd going, the way they have just gotten over, you know, just being themselves, basically. I'm having fun. I'm glad they're getting their ring, and I'm glad that they're keeping them as champions right now. And it wasn't here's the belts. You deserve them for getting over. Now let's put them on somebody else. They're having a real title ring. I'm having fun. And I find myself enjoying their matches, whether it's sports entertainment or not. I love their matches. So listen, I think the Acclaim is a big, massive W every week for AEW, and they need to keep it that way.
Yeah, this is great. Great segment. They're super over. We get a Will Hobbs promo, which I love where they're going with this. This guy's going to be a future world champion. I love these promos. The Book of Hobbs is coming. They're doing a slow build, and he's going to get a monster.
Do you think he's going to be a babyface or a heel?
Eventually a babyface. No choice.
I feel like they could go in either direction with him. And that makes me even more invested because the story that they tell us right now is either, oh my God, he has such a bad childhood. He's being able to overcome that. Or he could come up as somebody that is like, oh my God, he wants revenge for all the shit he's been put through. And the fact that I don't know until they finally go through with the presentation. Every week I'm here for it.
Absolutely. And they're doing a good job of promoting him in terms of these stories. He is coming off very human, and it is a likable thing. Even if he's being a hardened bad guy telling these stories, he's being vulnerable. He's opening up about these legitimate stories from his childhood. So people are going to cheer him. They have no choice but to in terms of him opening up every week. But I do think he's going to come in acting like a heel and being a heel. And he's got such a great heel face. But I just think that over time, people are going to cheer Will Hobbs, and he's going to be a big star either way.
And if he ever reunites with Starks, which I do hope we see at some point in the future, it makes sense that he will have trust issues or that he will turn on him because he never had somebody that he could really trust, like with the stories that they're telling us, you know, if they want to like unite them again in the future, not now. Yeah. Now I want to see them shine on their own. Starks doing great stuff. But that's also something that you can keep in the back of your mind. But yeah, I'm enjoying what they're doing with Hobbs.
Yeah, so we get the Kingston promo. Doesn't look like he's joining the House of Black anytime soon. It's going to be him probably in LAX.
And good to see him on TV, though.
On TV what?
It's good to see him on TV.
Oh, it's good. Yeah, yeah, it's great to see him on TV. I forgot that he was, you know, it's always good to see him, but he's been gone for a while. I don't think he's wrestled a match since the pay-per-view.
I can't remember. I'm with you. I can't remember the last time I saw him wrestle.
So we have Jade Cargill versus Sky Blue. Sky Blue, they gave her a lot. She was presented as the underdog. Oh, my God, she might pull this off. And then they had this great finish where it was a Hurricane Rana countered in midair by Jade Cargill. He picks her up, and she hits her with the Jaded. People are really going crazy for this finish. And then this is another match where Chris Jericho is exclaiming, there's two winners in this match, Shivani. They both did a great job. But even though Sky Blue lost, she's a winner in my book.
Everybody's a winner in the book of Jericho.
I love it. He did say that about the Renegade Sisters as well.
I know. But how much better is Jay getting in the ring?
Great. I thought it was an awesome match. It was one of these. I know there has been now the whispers, and I do expect 2023 to be the year that Jade's streak ends. I do think it's going to be Willow, but all these people now are crying about, oh, Jade needs to drop the title. It's been too long. It's run its course. No, it hasn't. This is one of the biggest stars in the wrestling business. If something runs its course, that is not the fault of her. That is the fault of the booking and telling the stories that you need to tell. And if you look at how they're booking Jade, she hasn't really had the best storylines to work with. They had that horrible segment where she sat down and said she wasn't going to leave, and she left 2 minutes later. They've done some terrible things booking-wise. She's just such a big star, she can overcome it. So you need to write better stories for Jade Cargill so this, when it's time to drop that belt, it could be a big deal.
But also, why would she drop the belt that was basically created for her?
Yeah.
You know, like, it needs to be a good storyline. It needs to go to someone that they have built up to that, because you didn't spend all these years building Jay for it to just go to the next person because he's run his course. Like, that's not the way that it works. It's the same thing with people telling me with the Roman Reigns story. I get that Roman Reigns is sober at this point, that he doesn't need titles, but you build this reign to be so historical that it can't just end just to end. It has to be a historic moment and go to the right person. I feel that way here. Not comparing them, but you get the point. It's that you build for that, then you need to make the moment happen. You cannot just stop halfway and be like, yeah, I'm done with this marathon, and just stop. So I want, when Jay loses, to go to a person that they built. And right now, they haven't really built anyone, so he needs to continue for a little while longer.
Absolutely, and that's a great comparison and a great point made. I completely agree with both fronts.
Thank you.
We had
a great match. Great match. I really thought we had some good wrestling on tonight, honestly.
Yeah, these were two really good wrestling shows. And this Rampage show, talk about banger after banger. Even the promos backstage, I thought they showed this Anna Jay and Ty Mello. I thought this was an incredible promo. This fired up. Just going insane on Ruby Soho and Willow Nightingale. Ty Mello talking about she's from the streets of Brazil, and so she knows how to get down and dirty, talking about how they bled before, and they're showing clips of that brutal match where Ty Conti and Anna Jay and the Bunny all bled. And this is, I thought, I knew nothing about the fact that these four women were even feuding, but after this one promo, I was like, okay, I'm going to be there, and I can't wait for this match.
Yeah, and I wish they talk more about the legitimacy than Tay Mello has. I get that because she gained some heat with the whole Sammy Guevara story and all that, but she's a black belt. Like, this woman can fight Sammy's battles for him. Yeah. Like, and talking about being from the streets of Brazil, I'm gonna tell you something that's scary. Like, let her bring this side of her more, because Ty Mello is a badass, and I wish they would present her that way. I was happy to see this side of her being brought back up, and the visuals of that incredible match that they put on, where everybody bled and everybody just went all out, all the women that were involved in that. So I'm excited to see this.
Yeah, 100%. I thought they did a great job. Kip Sabian versus Orange Cassidy is your main event. Mr. Friday Night himself, Orange Cassidy. There's no best friends there. They're telling this story with Orange Cassidy where he's on the outs with the best friends at the moment. They got their – Jim Ross jumps in while they're trying to set up that, oh, they used to be friends and now they're not talking as much. And Jim Ross just goes, they got their feelings hurt. Get over it.
That's something I would say, actually.
It is. It absolutely is. Jim Ross has no time for the best friend's feelings. So they come down, they make the save at one point. It gets Butcher and Blade. But even the commentary says, oh, are they making the save for Orange Cassidy or are they just handling their own business? Orange Cassidy toward the end of the match. I thought this had some pretty good spots. Kip Sabian looked great in here. Orange Cassidy really fired up and then he pushed the ref down. So Orange Cassidy losing his temper and they're really playing that up. And then he finally recovers to get the orange punch for the win. Orange Cassidy retains the All-Atlantic Championship, Issa.
Yeah, this was a match that I personally didn't ask for, but I was here for it. It looked great. Orange Cassidy is someone that, while I just can't, I don't get the gimmick, I can't get behind it, but every time he's wrestling, he manages to win me over. I think he's so talented in the ring. Kip Sabian, underrated. I wish that we use him more, because yeah, he's also like that. Like, you see him wrestle, and you're like, wow, this guy is really good. So it was a great way to end Battle of the Belts. And we'll see what happens. I wish this title felt slightly more important. It doesn't. And I don't know what they can do to make this title, maybe not carry around in a book bag. But anyways, they need to do something to make this title feel like it's a bigger deal. And I don't know that it feels that way now. But the matches that Orange Cassidy is putting on week after week are all incredible.
Yeah, and I thought Kip Sabian, in terms of he's a good worker, we all know that, but I thought as a heel, as a character and a performer, he was doing a great job getting heat and slowing the match mm-hmm. down. And obviously the crowd was good, but I thought Kip Sabian really did come off like a star.
Yeah, they both did, but I agree.
Yeah, so this is great. It was a good night of wrestling. Even though it was 4 hours, Issa, and even though it is very late over there and we're going to wrap this podcast up, I thought it was a good night of wrestling, and we'll look forward to Tuesday.
Yeah, it was a great night of wrestling. And even backstage promos, I just thought both shows, the flow of it, it went by fast. It didn't feel that way. When I sat down to start the podcast is when I actually realized how late it actually was. Everything felt like it went by pretty fast. And I appreciated that, because sometimes Rampage feels like a drag, even though it's only an hour long show. Tonight, both Rampage and Battle of the Belts, I thought went by as fast as SmackDown did.
Yeah, absolutely. So for NYC Demon Diva with a one on Twitter, I am at This Is Nasty on Twitter, at Pro Wrestling Bits on YouTube, Alfred Kunawa and the Wrestling Inc. podcast. Join us again on Tuesday for NXT New Year's Evil. Should be a fun show. And the return of Glenn Rubenstein. Good night, everybody. Happy January 6th.
These days, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries. And with that, we sent away good jobs and our capability to make things. American Giant is a clothing company that's pushing back against this tide. They make all kinds of high-quality clothing and activewear, like sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more, right here in the USA. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs in towns and cities across the country. And jobs bring pride. Purpose. They stitch people together. If all that sounds good to you, visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.